Hi everyone, this is KK Downing of KK's Priest and you're watching CMS TV.
It's brand new Leviathan project with Starlight, and just before that we heard The Haunted with 99 going out by request to Boss Metal, and Testament with Hammer of the Gods for Ben Benjamin. And speaking of Leviathan project, we got our good friend joining us in the virtual studio, Tommy Crash. What's going on there, Tommy?
Hey, not much.
Wow, now we're echoey.
Oh yeah.
So are you broadcasting from a slaughterhouse or something? Where the heck are you?
I've been relegated to the garage.
The garage.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, what's going on there, Tommy? It's been a while since we had you on the show. Obviously you're, you know, back with a new release here with Leviathan Project. And you know, obviously this is something that's going well for you to where we have a forthcoming release coming up.
Yeah, it's been going since COVID, I guess. And we just released our new CD, the CD version only yesterday. It's called 1982.
And why is it called 1982?
When we got Vinny to play on it and I started, you know, reconstructing the songs around his drum parts, it really took on the sound of something you might hear between Mob Rules and the first Dio record. His style really just kind of dictated the way I changed the songs around a bit. And, you know, I kind of felt like a lost record you might hear, you know, in between, like I said, Mob Rules and the Dio era. And, you know, I use a lot of traditional and conventional recording techniques like they would have back then. And it just seemed fitting. It fits nicely in the catalog there.
Right on, man. Well, dude, talk a little bit. Obviously, the big move, I guess, for Leviathan Project this time is having Vinny Appice on the record. You know, how did he come into play, and how did it work out as far as getting everything recorded?
Vinny had done a record for Deco Entertainment, the company that's distributing our record. And I don't know, I just got the idea to call them up and say, hey, you know, can you connect me with him and see if he'd be interested in doing this if he has the time. So we did one song with him. And it was weird. It was a little different than I'm used to because he is not a heavy metal drummer, despite playing in Black Sabbath and Dio. That sounds like a ridiculous thing to say. But he's very rooted in the 70s. The first Leviathan Project record was a little tighter and rigid in some ways. It was a little more metal. So when I got Vinny's tracks, I was like, huh, this is a little different. We kind of had to rethink it a little bit. So he said, let's try another song. And, you know, it got better and we got more used to it because he's, God, I think he's in Arizona. I don't even know where the hell he lives, but he sends me all his parts.
Right.
So, you know, there wasn't a terrible amount of dialogue there. Basically, we would demo everything, Matt and I, and I would do all the drum machines and everything, and Vinny would play to it, and then we would recut our parts to Vinny. So it was quite a task. It took 12 months to do this record.
Well, when Vinny was doing the Heaven and Hell thing prior to Dio passing away, he kind of took a liking to Chris and I. He used to call into the show and kind of bring us up to date with what was going on out on the road. And he invited us out to some of the Heaven and Hell shows. You know, he really took care of both Chris and I at the Heaven and Hell shows. And there was they made a pass through Chicago three times. I went to two of the three, and one of the times that they came through, you know, I kind of felt a little bit like I was taking advantage, so I didn't hit him up to come out to the show. And he saw Chris the following night in Cleveland, and He goes, we played in Chicago last night and Neely didn't come out to the show. I was a little bit disappointed. He didn't come out to see me. It's like, holy shit. But he's a really good dude. Aside from working with him on these tracks, have you met him in person or, you know, hung out with him at all? Or is this just over the phone or through the internet?
This is just, you know, doing the record and, you know, living down here in Orlando, a lot of bands don't come through our area. And I try not to leave my house if possible. So I've not gotten anywhere. So no, in fact, Bobby, the guy who plays lead guitar on our records, Bobby Coble from Death, he lives about 45 minutes from me and I've never met him. There's just no need to. Seriously. I mean, he's a great guy. They're all wonderful professional guys, but you know, why would I want to? Seriously, because the more you know, chefs in the kitchen or whatever, the more people putting their input in it, the more convoluted it gets. And, you know, Tim's got his thing going on. Vinny's got his thing. Everyone's got their thing going on. So Matt and I lay out the tracks like really perfect for them. So all they have to do is interpret that and they send me their parts back and it works. You know, it works for me.
Right on.
You and Chris are kindred spirits. You just never leave the house.
Well, you know, there's so much nonsense out there. And I mean, every time it's like I told Chris the other day when I talked to him, every time I pick up my guitar, I lose money. And every time you leave your house, you're going to lose money. So what's out there? I mean, what is it? You know, if Vinny's in town or I'm in a town where he's playing, yeah, that's cool. But, you know, it is what it is. It's a way to record now. I think we got a really cool record. I think it translates. I took my time with it. You know, so I can't imagine going in a studio with these guys and recording. I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't want to.
Right. Dude, when you started this thing, what, 5 years ago or whatever it's been now, did you see it being a long-term thing? Because I sort of remember me and you talking and you were like, yeah, I'm just doing this to kind of make some music. But now you're, what, 4 albums in and, you know, you've made a bunch of music with this.
You know, it just happens. There's really no plan to it. Like I said, since it's all done out of everyone's home studios, it's, you know, if I got an idea for a song, it's easy to record it and call the guys or email them and say, hey, you want to play on this? And, you know, so that's the way it is. There's no reason to stop. I mean, I love the style of music and, you know, the guys have been so great to work with. If one of them were difficult to work with and it would bum me out, then maybe I wouldn't be encouraged to keep on doing it, but they're just so professional and they're great people.
Right on, man. Well, dude, how difficult is it to promote Leviathan Project, especially with, I'm going to say mainly Ripper, but I mean, just in general, everybody's doing other stuff. It's got to be difficult to get the word out that this is out. Just because, you know, like in Ripper's case, he's out there touring with KK's Priest. So there's nobody really focusing on Leviathan Project because everybody's head is at KK's Priest, no?
Yeah. I mean, to promote it, it takes money. You know that. I'd hire a publicist, you know, put advertisements on websites, which Deco's done a little bit of that for us. But it's not like Tim's out there from KK stage promoting it every night, of course.
Right.
You know, so I'm trying to drip it out. For instance, we're releasing the just the CD version now, and then a couple months it'll go on all, or a couple weeks it'll go streaming. You know, we put a couple videos out. I'll just keep on, you know, extending the release cycle, you know, for 5 or 6 months. And, you know, if a few 100,000, you know, 100 or 1,000, 2,000 people catch on, you know, I'm realistic about it, but you know, I can't expect, people who are behind this to keep on dumping money into it, you know, for promotion. It's very difficult. You're correct.
Well, Tommy, how does compensation go on something like this? Like, how does a Ripper get compensated? How does a Vinny get compensated? How does that work in an independent project like this? Is this something that's self-funded? Does this come out of your pocket, or does the label do anything for you? How does that work for a project like this?
I don't compensate anyone. It's like if I hire a plumber to come fix in my house, I don't pay him. Why would I? They're so happy to play on the record and not get paid for it. They don't have anything else to do. That's the dumbest question I ever heard.
Well, where does that's not a dumb question.
It's pretty stupid.
Why is that a stupid question? Somebody has to put up the money. Does it come from you personally, or does it come from?
I have a man that helps with stuff, and he gives money to everybody.
So basically, you don't want to answer the question.
No, I have a man. His name is Rod, and okay. He gives me money for all my projects because he likes me.
Does he get anything out of this aside from just helping you out, or what? How does that work?
There are a lot of people in their 50s and 60s that have expendable income that grew up on this kind of music.
Okay.
And they want to be a part of it in any way they can. Whether it be people that are pseudo tour managers and they bankroll stuff, or they're promoters and they bankroll it so they can meet Ted Poley or Jizzy Pearl. So there's a lot of people out there with, like I said, expendable income if you know where to look and you meet the right people.
All right. So there's an answer to a dumb question.
Well, that's kind of a dumb question.
Not really.
Where does everyone else get their money that you talk to?
I don't know. Again, a lot of people, it comes right out of their personal pocket. A lot of them do that, their own personal pocket. I don't know where they, if they have retirement income or, as you put it, expendable income. But, we've run into people who they're not necessarily professional musicians who do this for a living, but they hire some notable people to play with them, and they come straight out of their own pocket to do it.
Yeah, it could get very costly. Again, with this, it's about learning how to build relationships with people. And sometimes, not everyone gets paid, and they like doing it because it's a cool song, or you just have to build a relationship with them. So it really depends. I mean, all the way back from the Britney Fox thing I did with them in 2007, there are a lot of people out there that have money and they want to get close to the pseudo stardom.
All right. So they pay to be a player in the business.
Pretty much.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
Still a dumb question, but
it's not a dumb question. Not a dumb question. I think the fans who are watching and listening get where I was coming from.
Yeah, we don't have any fans, but all right.
See, I'm just popping them up and seeing there are a couple saying that it wasn't. Hey, whatever.
Jerry C.
It's a great question, Tommy. See that?
Okay. Well, I hope Jerry C. liked my answer.
Well, dude, talk a little bit about the songs themselves, man. Is this all brand new material, or is this stuff that you've had since you've been working on Leviathan Project?
No, it's pretty much new material for the most part. Yeah.
That's cool. And how long, you said you worked on this for a year. How long did you have the material together before you started, parsing it out to the other players to add their parts to?
We would kind of do a song at a time. So I would come up with all the music and I'd send it over to Matt Nardo, who's been with me since the beginning. And he would do melody and vocals, and we'd work on that, and we would cut the demo of the entire song, and then we'd send it off to the guys. So we do one song at a time, because I didn't have any idea that we were going to make a whole record. And as long as the next song didn't suck, then I was like, all right, let's do another one. And we would keep on going with it. So not a traditional way to make a record, but no one really makes a record in a traditional way anymore.
Sure. How did you know when you had enough, or when you were at the stop point?
When that man named Rod stopped giving me money. He said, it's enough. And in the last song that we wrote, it was so horrible. And he's like, yeah, all right, I think we have a record.
Nice. Well, so, dude, go ahead, Neely. Go ahead.
Well, when you're writing music and you have ideas and so on and so forth, do you have someone in mind that, obviously Ripper is singing, do you have somebody in mind that you'd like to work with? You go, well, this song in my mind would fit this person's style. I wonder if I reach out to this artist, whomever it might be, would to possibly work with you, because it's like, this song kind of would fit your style.
In some projects I do reach out to different people, but for Leviathan Project, it's always Tim's going to be the guy singing it. And Matt writes most of the melody lines, and he writes more, you know, he's definitely more in the Dokken camp and the Foreigner type melodic thing. So he knows this. And sometimes I got to say, hey, Matt, we need to take some of the melody out of it. Not because Ripper can't sing it, but just because it doesn't sound like Leviathan Project if we're feeding Ripper, Dokken, or, you know, Foreigner type stuff or Mr. Big type melody. So everything for Leviathan is written, and we think about it. Is this going to be a good fit for Tim, even though he can sing pretty much anything? But we want to keep a consistency to the way the record sounds. You know, we want that classic metal sound, Dio, Black Sabbath. You know, we're not reinventing or doing anything new. We just want that classic metal sound. So, yeah. And then Vinny, of course, he did his thing with it, which was totally it was out of left field for me, the way that he played.
Right on. Now, dude, I was listening to the tracks that you sent me. The one that kind of surprised me, I guess, because I really didn't realize this even existed, was you sent me a live track. Did you guys play a gig?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it was about as live as you can get.
Okay. Was it live right there in the garage? Or?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
I listened to it, and I was like, wait a minute. It sounds live. I just was like, I was not aware that there was ever a... And
it's live. It's as live as the Kiss record and the Britney Fox live record. It's live as all that.
Nice.
It's Guns N' Roses live like a suicide.
That's right. Well, dude, the other thing that stood out to me on the record was you redid a couple of tunes, like you remixed them and repurposed them. Why did you choose to take those tunes and redo them?
There were a couple I weren't happy with the way they came out, and having Vinny play on them. In fact, one song was, I had written it originally, and I was thinking of Vinny's playing before I even knew that he was available, and I'm like, I need to have him replay this. You know, because especially if you're a drummer, Vinny just has a certain style, the way he hits the snare, the way he plays back a little bit. You know, so they didn't come out right the first way, and Vinny was kind of the key to that. And it, you know, they just fit on the record really well. And the thing is, it's, you know, it's, and that's the good thing about it being mine, 100%. I can do what I want with it. You know, if I want to repurpose every song and make new titles and just put out records that are the same thing, I'll do it.
Right.
You know, it's like when I used to play live, I would play song number one, and then I would end with that same song. Because my theory was that I could do what I want, and most people aren't there to hear the first song, which I think is really good. So I'll play it two times in the set.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine being in a band and trying to pull, you know, some of this nonsense, everyone's got their say. And it's like, these guys are just, they're easy. They're like, all right, you want to play it? Cool.
Nice.
Well, aside from these, you know, aside from this project, are you playing, you know, doing any session work for anybody else? Or are you asked to, you know, do some work for any other artist or contribute to their records, or, you know, like I said, do some kind of studio or session playing for anyone else?
No, I don't want to, as I think I've made it somewhat clear, I don't want to interact with people unless it's on my terms. and I'm not old by any means, but I've done that and I've compromised enough in my life, and I don't financially need to do music for a living. So if it's on someone else's terms, then I'm not really interested, you know?
Right. Dude, what is, and I know you're not involved in it, but as much as you know about it, what is going on with the lineup of Brittany Fox?
I mean, I think they've had the same lineup for the last year, and they go out and they seem to play a couple gigs a year. And, you know, people go to the shows and they seem to like it. You know, if you're on the internet, you know, of course you're going to piss on them and, you know, whatever. But I remember when I played with them in 2007, and we were probably not the best version of the Brittany Fox by any means. But I never met anyone after a show that came up and said, man, you guys kind of sucked, or you're not really a good guitar player. They had a couple beers and they got to hear Brittany Fox songs, and they had a good time. You know what I mean? So I think that's what's probably happening at the live shows. Why are they doing it? Why don't they do more? I don't know. But it's probably fun for the guys involved, I'd imagine.
Right on, man. But you have no desire to do it, right?
No, I mean, like I said, I don't have a desire to go out of my house and interact with any other musicians face to face. I really don't. I mean, if the thing comes up with Leviathan, are we going to play live? And it's like, maybe. I mean, but there's logistics involved. There's a lot of money involved. There's rehearsals involved. You have three musicians that actively tour that are in Leviathan projects. So, you know, if it makes sense, but I'm not going to walk out of my door and lose money. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just, no. There's no reason to. I don't need to go play Rockstar for a weekend. I'm just not interested in that.
I hear you, man. You know? Well, dude, what is Deco doing to help get the word? I know you talked about the very little in promotion. Are they doing, like the last time you had cassettes and stuff like that, are they going to do that this time, or is that a dead conversation with them now?
No, we have bundle packages on their website. If you can buy a bundle that's got a t-shirt, it's got, we did a reprint of our first cassette. You can get a guitar pick and an autographed copy, Ripper autographed a handful of copies. You know, so they're there to support it, but I think they're realistic too. You know, if you're not on the road actively promoting it heavy, or you don't have a windfall of, I don't know, how much would you need to really promote something properly? 10 grand,
yeah.
You know, or put a PR guy on retainer. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they're doing what they can. They understand there's a lifespan of this. And then that's why I'm trying to drip the videos and to release out. So we have, so we can extend it, because, you know, if I just put everything out, I blow the whole load in 1 week, nobody's going to remember it. But if I keep dripping it out, and, you know, that guy Rod gives me some more money and pays for promotion, then we do it that way. Maybe someone will want us to do a show and that will beef it up. I don't know. But you guys know the reality of this. It's very, very difficult for, to get the word out.
Yeah,
so I'm definitely. Just happy to have some people behind us that will help.
Right on, man. Well, dude, where should we tell people to go to keep up with Leviathan Project and buy it and hear it and all that good stuff?
LeviathanProjectBand.com, DecoEntertainment.com/Leviathan, or just Google it and, it comes up.
Very good, man. All right, man. Well, why don't we wrap this up with a tune from the album? Neely, you got the album, right?
I do. I'm looking right at it.
All right. What do you want us to play, Tommy?
I was just waiting for Neely to ask me something else.
Nope, I'm done asking stupid questions.
I'm just giving you a hard time, Neil.
I know you are, man.
I know. All right. What is it? There's a song called Nuclear Bomb. I think it's number 5 or 6. If you got that one, play that. That's kind of got a cool Vinnie groove to it, and it's got a little bit of a Dio vibe in the chorus. I think people that listen to your show would like it.
Cool.
All right. We'll go check out Leviathan Project and pick up the CD. You released the CD. Is that still available, Tommy?
Yeah, I don't think we've sold them out yet. So Okay. Maybe people will buy them and help us out.
All right. Perfect. All right. Well, here it is. Here's a new song off the new disc, 1982. And this is Nuclear Bomb, exclusively here
on your Classic Metal Show.
The Classic Metal Show now has all of our videos on Spotify. Simply look up and subscribe to the CMS Network on Spotify, and you'll get the audio and video podcasts each day from The Classic Metal Show. It's never been easier to listen to Mealy and Chris, so simply open Spotify, subscribe to the CMS Network, and enjoy The Classic Metal Show every single day. Hail and kill.